The reviews are in, and we're going to tell you what they are. He is Todd Vandenberg, I'm Rob Steele, and we are actually going to start this week with a quote from British comedian Ed Gamble, who has completely figured out one of those movies you reviewed last week.
Yes.
I thought this was brilliant. The best way to defeat Pennywise is to just turn him off and back on again. Because the clue was in the title. I mean, it's called IT. I heard him do that on a show this week and went, that's brilliant. I'm starting the show with it.
Thank you. That is excellent.
Geez. Yeah, meanwhile, we've got a couple movies to review and a couple of news notes. And some of it's a bit odd. Well, actually, it's not odd. It just looks weird. Actually, it doesn't look weird. It looks like someone cleaned it. We'll get to that in a few minutes. Let's start with... We're both reviewing sequels. Only mine is a sequel of a sequel of a reboot of a sequel. And God, that was a mess. We'll get to that in a minute. We're going to start, though, in a lovely place with a small mouse with large ears and a duck that has a speech impediment. No, that's Disneyland. We're going to start with Zombieland, which should be in Atlanta. But it's not. It's filmed in Valdosta, where I used to live, and my God, were the people there zombies in the first place.
What is the name of that amusement park in Valdosta?
Crapland.
There you go. That's
no, seriously, I went there once and looked around going, they made me pay to come in? they should have paid me to come in here. Wow, it's...
Quite sad.
I thought so.
Anyway, not filmed in Crapland, but I'm talking about Zombieland Double Tap. Not Zombieland, but Zombieland Double Tap, which was and is, because it's still playing and will because no one's going to destroy the prince, a very funny, entertaining movie. I don't think it's quite up to the original standard, but again, that is the problem you always have with sequels. It's really hard to top the original. Unless you take it in a completely different direction or do a different take on it, like Alien and Aliens. As you had mentioned last week, first one's a horror film, second one's an action movie, both science fiction. Yeah, Zombieland, Double Tap.
For God's sake, do not do what you did with Highlander and make a really good first one, and the second one just retcon everything and go, what the hell happened here?
Yeah, which happens way too often. But they did not retcon. They did not retcon Zombieland. So it is a nice continuation of the original. So you can stop. No, don't stop listening. But the original cast returns, which is excellent. I'm not going to say all of the original cast because I'm sure there are some extras who are zombies in the first one who aren't back. But of the main characters, all four are back, which is lovely, beyond lovely. Same director, has the same sensibilities. A lot of breaking the fourth wall, which is even talk about the fact that modern zombie culture, and they talk about Walking Dead, and it's very well done, very snarky, very funny, just like the first one. Again, the only thing that it falls back on a bit is just it's not as fresh as the original, because that's why everyone who does love the original, that's why he liked it, because it was such a new, cool, clever take. Well, this is the same cool, clever take, so it suffers just a bit because of that, but just as funny, extremely gory and bloody and nasty, and it's R-rated for a reason, because wow, very, very visceral, and the word is visceral for a reason, because it reveals viscera, and there's lots of it in this movie. But super funny stuff. Some nice new additions to the cast. When I first heard about this, I was a bit taken aback. I was like, oh, we're gonna get less of the characters we like, but it works out really well. And they're very interesting characters, and there are some nice in-jokes, which you won't miss as long as you saw the first one. And if you didn't see the first one, why are you watching the second one? So, very good stuff. Basically, they continue their march through the horrors of Zombieland, which used to be America. And there are some political comments, which are well done. It's not overbearing. There are probably some people of a particular political persuasion that might be upset about it, but most of them won't get it anyway, so it's okay. Good stuff. I'm not going to go into much details. It's just they're fighting zombies. Surprise. And they find morphins to help them fight zombies. and it's very funny. There's really no point in going into the plot because the plot doesn't matter. It's just about the journey and the relationships, and it's all really well done. Zombieland Double Tap, highly recommend. It's not a great movie, but it's an entertaining movie, and that's what it's there for.
I mean, I think that's what most movies should be there for.
They should be.
You know, I'm not the biggest fan of this movie will move you to tears. No, if I want to cry, I'll just read the political page of what newspapers are left. You know, I'm just saying. Anyway, movie I did this week, which I understand you watched as well.
I did.
So feel free to chime in. There is a sound I'm hearing, and I'm not sure if it means Kenny Omega is going over the top rope or if Arnold is back in theaters. Yes, that is an AEW reference. Tune into TNT on Wednesdays to find out what the hell that means. Yes, we could use a sponsor. Hint, hint. But this isn't a wrestling show. Terminator Dark Fate in theaters now, or T3 version 2. Depends on the way you want to do it. I think that's really what it should have been, is T3 version 2. Because this is easily the best Terminator film since the last one. No, I'm kidding. Probably the best one since Terminator 2. And I was right, by the way, because I called this. I can't remember if it was last week or the week before. It is a liquid metal Terminator over a T-800 skeleton, which is brilliant. But that's in the trailer. It's not a spoiler. Neither is this. And I'm counting this as not a spoiler. Ed Furlong. And everyone wanted to know if he was going to be in the movie. He is, as John Connor. And he dies in the first, 30, 45 seconds of the movie?
Nah, it's 2 minutes in, easy.
After the credits. So, I'm sorry, if it's that early in a movie, it's not a spoiler.
Yeah.
The ending, which I'm not going to tell you at all, that's not a spoiler. Because I'm not telling you. It would be if I did. Anyway.
It would be.
This particular Terminator movie, the main character's name is Grace, played by Mackenzie Davis of Blade Runner 2049, and Izzy, getting the F across town fame, is sent back in time. She's a female who is cybernetically enhanced, built for short spurts of energy before burning out, and she apparently becomes excruciatingly diabetic. Let's go get some insulin and other things, which is really kind of weird because insulin doesn't work that way. Not the point. Really enhanced human to the point of at one point having to prove it. And she took a butterfly knife and sliced a fly in half mid-flight, which I thought was really cool as a visual, but would never physically work because the blade is about as thick as the bug itself. I'm just saying. Linda Hamilton does return as Sarah Connor, who is very badass. And we find out she's wanted in all 50 states. Look at the character and ask, do you really need to ask yourself why? Anyway, the Terminator has been sent back to get Danny Ramos, played by Natalia Reyes lots of things that are in Spanish that I've never heard of and can probably not pronounce properly. So basically, she's the new John Connor, kind of. There's a bit of a twist. And let's see, they sent a T-800. They've sent a T-1000. The next one is a Rev-9, because numerically speaking, that made very little sense to me anyway. The Rev-9 is played by Gabriel Luna of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s. And one-shot character in NCIS Los Angeles, right? I was trying to find other things, and I didn't know any of them. Anyway, he did really good. I enjoyed his character, and I love the fact that this particular Terminator actually seems human and capable of the infiltration that the Terminators are supposed to be able to do. I think that's mainly because it's not Skynet that built this one. It's Legion. And they make better Terminators, I guess. Or, you know, the movie caught up with reality and they went, oh, crap, we can almost do this now. I think Nissan built one of these. So there is that. There are a few future scenes, which I thought were nice. And I do kind of question the physics. I mean, going back to the knife thing, but the physics of the ship that they show in the future scene made me go, no, what you just did would have made it break in two. I don't care what kind of carbon fiber you're using. But however, those scenes in my head cemented the feel that Grace would make an incredible Dune and Newt if they ever made an Appleseed live action movie. If you don't know what that is, it's an anime. Look it up. Trust me, it'll work. The story itself, back in Terminator, starts in Mexico City, which amused me because they are going to have to cross the border into Texas with, and this is a quote from the movie, an undocumented immigrant and a woman who had her own episode on America's Most Wanted. Because that'll work. So what do? They make a trek to Texas on the top of a train because no one will ever see that. And then we get a cameo by Trump's wall, which shows up in the movie. It's apparently fully built. And here's a complete shocker for people, if you happen to believe in the wall. There's a tunnel underneath it. Who knew? You can tunnel under...
Well, can I interject for a moment? Go they have built 4 miles of the new wall, and they showed probably 30 feet of it. So, you know, it's realistic.
There's a tunnel underneath it.
They're cutting through it in reality with like a $100 saw. So, yeah. Anyway, back to you.
They sent a portion of the wall to a school in, where was it, Kentucky, and told these 8-year-old kids, can you scale that? And they went, yeah, sure. Beep, beep, zip, bang. And they're over the wall.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's a tunnel underneath. Go figure. Because, you know, hey, walls do work for holding up ceilings. Anyway, Arnold, the T-800 that killed John Connor and could not return to the future, shows up at about the halfway point. And quite frankly, I think we could have done the movie without him. I mean, there was a good transition from the old cast to the new cast for new sequels and more stuff. But I don't know that Arnold was actually necessary. It was a nice thing to find out what happens to a Terminator after it receives no further orders and has carried out its job. Fine. But you know what? This movie gets to the end of it. Set up for more sequels. Yes, I know they're probably coming. But it could have quite easily ended here.
I agree.
And quite frankly, I think it probably should have. I mean, it wasn't a bad movie, but there are a few different endings, and some that I would have preferred. Like, you know, and these are not spoilers. They didn't happen. And you're going to see a myriad of possible endings as you watch it. I would have preferred to see everyone died. And the future can go on the way it did, and that's if you're going to end the series.
Heartless.
I'm just saying. Actually, the one that I really wanted to see would be if Danny Ramos escapes, and the last shot of the movie is Grace standing next to the Rev 9 going, good, she's trained for the future, our plan worked. She's ready for everything now. I thought that would have been... That's not the way it ends. You know it's not going to end that way, although I thought it would have been cool. All in all, I thought it was a good movie. As good as T2? Not quite, but it's... I think it's up there. What was your opinion of this?
Yeah, I agree that it is up there with the first two movies. It's not as good as T2. It's a different kind of movie from the first Terminator, just because... The first Terminator, there's less action. It's almost more of a suspense film. It's a different kind of movie. But yeah, it definitely fits in with those first two movies compared to, it seems like, an eternal assembly line of crap that they churned out after T2. And there's only three, but it seems like 1,000. Compared to this.
There are only there were two really good movies followed by three crap sequels. And I don't know of any other franchise that's done that.
Yeah. So compared to those sequels, this is... light years past those. This is a really fun, entertaining movie. It's a great movie. I don't think it's a great movie, but it's a really good, entertaining movie. Definitely worth watching. I liked the fact that Arnie was in it. Yeah, they could have done it without Arnie, but I like the fact that he was in it because it's like paying fan service, and he's actually used well, and he's actually good, as opposed to, what was it, the Genesis that he was in? That it was like, I barely remember the movie because it was so bad. And I know he was in T3 also, but who cares about any of those movies? So here we are at T7. A lot of it made sense. I like the fact that because Sarah Connor had destroyed the future for Skynet, now there's a new future. It's a different reality. So that's why they had Rev 9s and Rev 7s and all this other crap. And it's just a different reality that came forward, which, of course, really sets up sequels if they want to, because they basically said they can have any kind of future they want. So this is going to continue to happen. Because yeah. this was a different group that decided to turn on an AI that decided to turn on its human masters and destroy them. So all the actors were really good. I really like the fact that Linda Hamilton and Arnie weren't just there for cameos. They're driving forces in the movie. The new characters are all really, really good. I like the ending. I like the fact that they're done. They don't have to make another movie because they completed the story. There's no cliffhanger. We know they will just because they're going to make money.
Right.
But they don't even have to start off with these characters. They left it open that they could. And honestly, I don't want to see Linda Hamilton in the next one because I hope the next one is like 5 years from now. I don't want to see Arnie in the next one. We don't need those characters.
Yeah, we passed the torch.
Right, exactly. So they can start over with this new group.
Just don't use the Olympic theme.
Yeah, there were some... I had some issues with the physics of it in the modern day. They're driving around a C5 and people are standing on the ramp while the thing's open. And it's got to be going fairly fast because they don't float. And people are just standing on the ramp. And it's not just Arnie that's standing on the ramp of the thing open. There are just people standing there while it's flying. It's like, not sure how that would quite work that well. And there are other few issues. But those are minor things compared to the...
It's those of us that nitpick, I think.
Compared to the crap fests of just terrible decisions that they made in all those three previous films, much, much better movie. Like I said, the action sequences are all excellent. The acting is excellent. Love the fact, like you said, that the new version of a Terminator has the liquid metal over the skeleton. And it's used very effectively in several sequences. I'll just put it that way. And Mackenzie, she's excellent.
She is.
I really liked her, and Izzy gets the across town, and she turns out to be an excellent action hero too. So very good. Very entertaining film for a change. We had two really entertaining films.
Just not doing all that great in the box office, unfortunately.
Surprisingly not. I mean, it's doing okay, but it's not eating the universe like Joker.
Yeah. Domestic take as of this recording is up to a whopping 29 million, bringing it to 123 and a bit over a half globally. Which is my segue to where we got this information. Because if you've listened to our show, you know we used the website Box Office Mojo to find how much money movies made, because it's a great resource. And it continues to look like it's going to be, but something confused the crap out of me just before we started recording the show, because it now says Box Office Mojo powered by IMDb Pro. I somehow missed that IMDb had gobbled up Box Office Mojo. IMDb is actually also a spectacular movie reference. If you ever need to, you know, you look up a movie and go, or you're watching a movie and go, I've seen that guy somewhere else, and you look him up on look up the movie on IMDb, figure out the actor, click on the actor, and it tells you everything that actor's been in, which is spectacular, because that's something that's bugged the crap out of me for years, is every so often going, where do I know that guy from? I know him from somewhere. He was in The Thing with the guy and the girl with the stuff and the, Mission Impossible 3, just about as fluid. Yeah, it's a good resource. And don't know. You mentioned just before the show, it looks cleaner than it used to.
Oh, yeah. It looks really, really nice, the design. Before, it looked like something I would design. Now, it looks like something that professionals did. Which, you know, when Amazon buys you up, because Amazon owns IMDb, and apparently now Box Office Mojo, that's what happens.
So good for them. Hopefully they got some money out of it.
A lot.
Probably did. Did want to mention a couple little news things real quick. A couple things out of the DC Universe, actually. Although not part of the DC Universe films. A Green Lantern series is apparently coming to HBO Max. Which may or may not be part of the Arrowverse. I'm not real sure about that. But something that is going to be part of the Arrowverse, I believe, is the Superman and Lois series on the WB. And as much as I have actually switched over comic-wise, not the movies, comic-wise, I have pretty much switched over to being more of a DC fan than Marvel, even though I grew up with more Marvel stuff. I think they're overdoing it on the DC TV shows. Because this will bring us up to what, 8 in the past decade?
No, I think it's like 80. Yeah.
It could be more.
There are a zillion. Not that there aren't a lot of Marvel TV shows, because there have been, and now there'll be even more next year. But I don't know. You prefer the Arrowverse shows more than I do, because it seems like every single time I watch one of them, they do something titanically stupid, which makes me give up. You know, I talked about the thing with Robin trotting down the stairs, not even two at a time. And I know that's in the DC thing, but not the CW, but still. It's still the DC TV universe. And Supergirl, you know, ducking away from a flame, you know, she's Supergirl. Again, it figure out better ways to film the scene. If you're that stupid, you cannot figure out a way to have Robin get off a balcony without trotting down the stairs like he's in second grade, or have Supergirl duck. I mean, like you mentioned, they did that in the 50s.
Bullet bouncing. Oh, a gun! Duck!
Duck from the gun. It's like, come on now. It's not 1954. It's like, do better. Because that may not take everybody out. Obviously, it doesn't, because they're very popular shows, but it certainly takes me out of it. It's like, you cannot do that. Have an actor write the scene so an actor has to react like a person instead of a superhero. That's lazy and that's stupid. So eventually every one of these shows so far has done something like that. It's like, nope. Can't buy into the character anymore, because obviously it's someone, you know, there's probably better cosplay going on at the average conventions. I'm sure there are cosplayers who figured out how to shoot fire at themselves and not have to duck. It's like, come on, guys. These are multi-million dollar productions. You should be able to do this.
I mean, something that irked the crap out of me several years ago before X-Men Alpaca Lips came out was that the same day they released the picture of, it was Oscar Isaacs who played Alpaca Lips, right?
Right.
They released a picture of a guy at, it was Comic-Con or Dragon Con or whatever con he happened to have been at, dressed as not Alpaca Lips, like Oscar Isaacs. He was dressed as Apocalypse. He made the costume himself, and what do you know? That's what he looked like. Not only can it be done, it can be done on Bob's budget. So, there's no excuse not to do that.
It is really strange. I mean, like Oscar Isaacs, he's a really good actor. You wouldn't tell it from any of the Star Wars movies, and certainly not from that X-Men thing. But he is a really good actor.
He looked like someone had held Jeremy Clarkson underwater for a long time, and he just turned blue. That's wrong.
It's wrong. Oh, it's really good, but that's wrong. Yeah, it's frustrating when they waste. It's like, why hire someone with talent when you're going to give them a script like that and direct them like that? It's like, don't bother. Just get the guy who built the set. And, you know, maybe he'll be the next Harrison Ford, for that matter. But, you know, that's a total waste. And make the character look right.
There have been a bunch of miscastings that have killed me. The Tim Burton, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory thing, where if you watch it, you know he clearly wanted Mike Myers for Willy Wonka, but he didn't get Mike Myers. He got Johnny Depp, who was the bigger name, to draw people in so that he didn't have... I just said his name, Johnny Depp. He didn't have Johnny Depp as Willy Wonka. He had Johnny Depp as Mike Myers as Willy Wonka. And that, no, don't do that. It's horrible. Yeah,
that was quite terrible.
It almost made the trailer look good, but it didn't. You can tell from the trailer that was wrong. That's my segue into this week's trailers. I saw one last week that I meant to mention. Because, you know, I like the show, and they're coming out with a new season for it. It's an animated show called Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex. I love the show. Do I like the, what was her name, Scarlett Johansson movie? I liked the way Scarlett Johansson looked in the movie, but, you know, she could have just stood there for 2 hours and it would have been a better movie. Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex, this time 2045, as opposed to 2030, which is when the original series took place. It's coming next year to Netflix. It has a completely different animation style, which, I'll be honest, I'm not entirely sure I'm into this style or not. You remember the Appleseed reference I made a little while ago?
Indeed.
That's kind of what it looks like, which is... I mean, I know they're both written by the same guy, whose name I will not butcher because I like the guy. I'm not sure if I like this style or not, but there is hope because, unlike the movie, this trailer had a Tachikoma in it. And if you know the series, you know that was something that the movie really, really missed. There were Tachikomas in Alita Battle Angel, for Christ's sake. You can put one in the Ghost in the Shell movie. That's where they came from. I'm just saying. Anyway, that's my trailer for the week. What you had mentioned a few before the show, including a very bizarre thing at the beginning of your Terminator 3 viewing experience.
Yeah, they had several trailers in front of Terminator 3. I saw this at Regal, which I really like Regal. Again, we could use sponsors. But... they made a really, whoever decided how to stage the trailers made a really bad error here. Because there was a trailer for a movie, which I found the trailer very funny. I'll get to that in a moment. A couple more trailers. Then they show the trailer for Star Wars Rise of Skywalker. Yay, cool. Then you figure, okay, movie time. Nope, there's another trailer. And then there's another trailer. There were five trailers that came after Rise of Skywalker, which was either the third or fourth trailer already. By the second trailer after Rise of Skywalker, people in the audience start saying, really, another one? Several different people were doing this. So trailers are supposed to build interest, not piss off your audience. It's like, don't be stupid and put the trailer for the most anticipated film third or fourth in a series of... eight or nine trailers. It's like, how stupid could you freaking be?
That takes anyway, 15 minutes into the runtime.
Yeah. It's just ridiculous. Because at that point, no one gives a damn about what they're watching. They're just shutting down. They don't want to see this. So, great job, Regal. But the trailer that I really did enjoy, more than the Rise of Skywalker trailer, which has some cool scenes. It looks nice, but it really doesn't tell you what the hell's going on in the story. Although, really, does it need to? Do they even need trailers for this movie? It's kind of like a waste of money. Everyone's going to go see it anyway. The trailer I liked, Jungle Cruise, which shocked the hell out of me because this is another Disney film based on a Disney ride. It's like, are you serious? Can you possibly do this again? Based on the trailer, they absolutely can do this again. Emily Blunt stars, which is yay, is in my opinion. She stars as an adventurer who is searching for some lost artifact in some far-flung land. And she is in Emily Blunt badass mode, which is totally excellent. But with a little bit of comedic touch as well. So Emily Blunt, like, to the nth degree. Turns out the person who is going to help her find this artifact is none other than Dwayne Johnson. Dwayne Johnson looks like he is in, well, always Dwayne Johnson mode. Action hero, funny guy. And he runs a jungle cruise, which is out in this real wilderness, but it's faked, just like the Jungle Cruise at Disney. He pulls a lever, some fake hippo comes up out of the water, native peoples attack, and I did air quotes like you could see me, native peoples attack their boat, and then he kind of nods to them afterwards and says, hey guys, you were a little late on that, where none of the people on the tour can see it. So it's this dangerous jungle cruise, but it's all fake. And then she commissions him to take her on this trip with some real adventure that's going to happen. And tons of funny lines because it's The Rock. So, but this trailer looked probably better than the trailer for the original Jumanji remake, which starred The Rock. Which, by the way, there's a trailer out for the sequel to Jumanji, which doesn't look that great, and hopefully it'll be better. But
it just looked like it was made in Wisconsin, in that it was 98% cheese.
Hey, but great cheese, because Wisconsin has great cheese. Yeah,
where's that chess? Sorry, I haven't seen that commercial entirely too much.
didn't make me all that thrilled. But Jungle Cruise looks fantastic, which again, absolutely shocked me. Because Jungle Cruise, really? You're making a movie about Jungle Cruise? How awful. But this looks like the old video game, almost kind of Pitfall Harry, which of course was a take on Raiders of the Lost Ark, et cetera, et cetera. But still, this looks like it's going to be a very entertaining movie, a great pairing between Emily Blunt, because she will hold her own against anybody. It doesn't matter if it's The Rock or not. Highly entertaining. That'll be out next year. So at least there's one to look forward to.
Well, that and Skywalker, which I'm only looking forward to because of the wedge scenes.
And it'll be over.
Yeah.
There's that to look forward to, too.
For those of you who think I'm hating on Star Wars, behind me is an original Star Wars poster. All right. Not even A New Hope, damn it. It's Star Wars, and that's it. And over here, my collection of Wedge action figures, of which there are more than one. Yes, thank you. Finally had to track the bastards down on the internet because you can't find them in stores. I digress. Actually, you know what? I just go ahead and end the show because I've run out of stuff. I think you've run out of, we'll always have more stuff, but we've got to save it for other shows.
Indeed.
So, you know what? Go ahead, click the like button, click the subscribe button. Come back next week. We'll have more stuff. In the meantime, get out and go see a movie.
Captain, we're losing power in the warp engines.
I think we should be leaving now.
I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife.
And on that unusually harmonious bombshell, it is time to end.
I am very disappointed.
Man, we have a weird job.
It's shameful, but it's a living.
And like that, he's gone.
Hey, who turned out the light?